Welcome to the Real Estate Reality Show with your host and back-to-back Best of the Springs realtor, Justin Hermes.
All right, folks, thanks for joining me on Real Estate Realities here Sunday morning. It's a joy to spend this time with you. I'm happy we've gotten some moisture this last week. And I tell you what, it was an exciting election period here. We had the city council issue one was up and the mayor was up. So we had all those results come in. And congratulations to Mayor Southers getting reelected as our mayor. Boy, that's a great decision by the city of Colorado Springs. And he's going to lead us into even four more years of prosperity. So thank you, Mayor Southers, for your service. And congratulations to Tom Strand and Wayne Williams, our former Secretary of State. What a treat it is to have Wayne Williams serving as our city council member. And yes, issue one did get voted down. That's right. We don't need unions here in Colorado Springs. And that's what the fire department was trying to do. They were trying to unionize and have a seat at the table. And that was voted down, about 30,000 votes voted it down, and then 15,000 in favor. So it was a landslide. We're going to talk a little bit about the tiny home proposal that we've seen on the south end of town, where we see all that development by the new apartment buildings that are coming in, by Atomic Cowboy. You know where all that growth is. There's a tiny home proposal right now on the blocks of 120 to 132 West Fountain Boulevard. Okay, that's 80903. Once again, it's that south area town, and it's going to be called the Fusion at Mill Street. So the cross streets are Sierra Madre and West Fountain Boulevard, and they're going to be putting in some tiny homes there. Okay, that would be a first for the downtown Colorado Springs area. Obviously, the pros here are, yes, it does help with affordable housing. We've talked about it. We have a shortage of affordable housing, and we need infrastructure like this. We need developments like this for tiny homes. The only thing that scares me is, how will it be done? How's it going to look? What's the quality going to be like? So if you live down in that neighborhood, or if you're curious, call me at 719-232-1063. We can dive into that a little bit more and talk about the pros and the cons. The title of today's show, The Past, The Present, and What's to Come. We have John Hermes, my father, joining us for the next two segments. It's going to be a treat, folks. He's a wealth of knowledge, been in the real estate business for over 30 years. And we're going to break it down. The 80s, the 90s, 2000s, and 2010 to now. It's going to be a wealth of information. So stick with me. You're listening to Real Estate Realities on the Cardio News radio station. This is Justin Hermes. My number, 719-232-1063. And are you ready for it?
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way.
This segment is brought to you by Arrow Moving and Storage. Whether you're moving across the street or across the country, call Arrow Moving and Storage, 719-325-6341. We're back to the Real Estate Reality Show with Justin Hermes. If I could turn.
All right, folks, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with me. Beautiful Sunday morning here in Colorado Springs. We got John Hermes. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, Justin. It's nice to be on the program with you.
And we love it when you come on because you've been doing it so long. You got a wealth of knowledge, and we are hopping in a time machine today, folks. So pull over on the side of the road and jump in the time machine with us, because we're heading back to the early 1980s here in Colorado Springs. That's right. We're talking no cell phones. Maybe you have a pager if you're a cool kid on the block. And in real estate, no lock boxes, no internet. That's just shocking. You might have just drove off the side of the road. But John, tell us what that was like.
Well, Justin, I got out in Colorado Springs in 1980, but prior to that, I had a couple years in St. Paul, Minnesota, where I got my taste of no cell phone, no computer, no pagers, no MLS. You know, it was a quite interesting time to try to sell real estate. We all were under the same requirements, though. Nobody had any of that equipment. So it was an interesting time. We had contracts of one page. Can you imagine that? And we ended up going to the seller's home to present an offer personally to the seller. And that was quite an experience also. So we had some times there that you couldn't imagine selling a lot of property, but we did get it done. The MLS service was not in vogue yet because we didn't have computers. So we had a big 150-page book that we paged through with our buyers to try to determine what they wanted to look at. And then I had to run over and get keys from every office before we went to show. And so it became a little bit time-consuming to do it that way, but we have some nice time with face-to-face contact, which I think we all need, and probably we're losing a little bit of that with the way the tech service is running now, but with the system, I should say.
So that's great. Let me interrupt you there. One of the things that standed out was the contract. So was it really just a one-page, two-page contract you were dealing with?
One page.
One page front and back, or was it really just the front page?
It was all, there was no inspection clauses. There were no inspections, and they just required, when are you going to close? That's all we had to put in the contract, and it was very simple, which was nice at the time, but obviously as time evolved and the buyer agency came into play, there was certainly a need for contracts to be expanded and to be more inclusive of things that we needed to deal with and we need to keep our minds on.
So everyone was a seller's agent. You had one-page contracts, no inspection. That just blows my mind. And did you feel like people still were treated fairly and the quality was good?
Absolutely. We would go in and actually you'd represent people you knew. And obviously at the time we were thinking we're going to certainly represent these people well. But in technically, we were all working for the seller. But we really did represent our own buyers the way that we actually do now always. But technically, we had to keep our eye on things and make sure that we were doing things the way the Real Estate Commission wanted us to. And that is a seller's agent.
That's great information there. You know, the MLS listings, we talk about the books, and that's how things were shared. And, I mean, how else would you get information? This is no internet day and age.
Well, if you had a buyer that says, I need to know as soon as something hits the market, and they had an area that they really liked, then I just got out and drove. And I was looking for yard signs and then call the agent and see if we get in and show it. But other than that, we had to wait for the book to come out or the supplement that came out every other week when the big book didn't. So it was a little more legwork than you guys are experiencing right now.
That's right. We're privileged. I got it easy.
Absolutely.
That's funny. So that's really the 1980s. When would you say things really started to evolve as far as cell phones and started to move a little bit faster?
Well, I think as we got into the mid and later 80s, you started seeing more technology. And it was minor. I mean, we had pagers, and then we had cell phones, and then we finally got into the cell phones were interesting. They looked like a big shoe. They only worked for about an hour. You had to keep charging them. So
now these kids complaining about their battery life. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Yeah, can you believe that? So, and of course, the computer came in at the same time, and then MLS went online, and then obviously things started to pick up. The pace would pick up in the market because we did have that technology we were able to use, and really it was for the good of the buyer and the sellers to get things going a little more efficiently.
That's great. And so, folks, if you're listening, early 1980s here in Colorado Springs, we had 215,000 people. During this time, we have the annexation of that southwest area, Skyway, the Canyon, Broadmoor area, and the rates were at 18%. This is Carter days. And I have to ask you, John, how were you getting homes sold with rates at 18%?
Well, obviously, Justin, you guys haven't experienced and probably never will that time frame. But fortunate thing during those high interest rate times were that FHA and VA loans were assumable without qualification. So all we had to do was get an agreement. I'll give you so much down, I'll take your loan over, and then we sold homes that way. But the other side of it was the seller was never off the hook until that loan was paid off. So they were continued to be liable, and if in fact there was a foreclosure, the bank would then hold them accountable for what was owed on the loan. And then when they went in to buy another house or try to get a new mortgage, of course, they had that liability sitting out there. So
how many percentage would you say that was of the sales? Is that 50% of how the financing was going during that time?
I would say you'd be at least 50, and then you had some of these owner carries, and you had to be a little careful how those were done and worded. But we did those also. Yeah, they would say over 50% of home sales were under those terms and arrangements.
That's wild. And people were okay with it because it sounds like that's all they knew. I mean, it's not like you were talking, this is 10% of the people. This is 50% and then even more when we start talking, you know, owner carries. So it sounds like their comfort zone, they just felt like this is the way we had to transfer property.
Well, there wasn't really any other options. So either you kept your property or you sold it, and nobody's going to go and get an 18 or 19% mortgage to buy a house.
That's unbelievable. So we go into the late 1980s here in Colorado Springs, okay? We had a little bit of appreciation in the housing market. It was stagnant, we'd say, but there was some appreciation, okay? But that was all wiped out when the savings and loan market went belly up in the late 1980s. So if you had any appreciation as a homeowner, that was all wiped out when the savings and loan market went kaput.
Correct.
There were lots of foreclosures. We see Banning Lewis now, which is very developed. That went into foreclosure numerous of times. And tell us, what was that time period like?
Well, we hadn't experienced anything like that as realtors before. So, you know, you just had to react the way you could react. And that was you had to keep pushing forward and try to help your buyers and your sellers navigate through a market like that. But it was pretty scary. And people, of course, lost confidence in the real estate market. And they obviously lost confidence in the lenders that were doing things that caused them to go belly up, as you would say.
Yeah, exactly. So we go 1990. The population in Colorado Springs was 283,000. Folks were the 54th largest city in the U.S. at that time. And then we see in 1991, the Resolution Trust Corporation helped restart the market. Builders became optimistic. Rates fell below 10%. And it seemed like, you know, things were really back on track. How would you say that affected the everyday buyer and seller? We know the developers, obviously, their side of things. But how did you see your buyers and sellers reacting?
Well, I think they got some confidence back in the market when they noticed that the government stepped in there to help out. And the thing that, of course, started us down another track was the home ownership, especially new homes. The developers were using adjustable rate mortgages. And at the time, those were great. You know, you got a 10.5% interest rate out there, but people were buying in at 6.5%, 7% adjustable. So over time, those rates were going to creep up a little bit, but people were excited about home ownership, excited about buying something, and payments at that time were affordable. But it was, as we look back now, the start of another rough time for the real estate market.
Well, I tell you what, folks, just so you know, the largest building downtown, that Wells Fargo building, former the Norwest Bank Tower, was just getting completed in 1991. Okay, so that was really a big deal at that time for Colorado Springs in that downtown area. So, John, how would you say, just living here for that time period, we're talking right now just 1980 to 1990, maybe early 90s, how was the downtown atmosphere?
Well, it was actually not too bad. It was friendly and, you know, it wasn't real fast moving, but you had a lot of local people that owned stores and businesses downtown. So it was sort of fun to go downtown. And, you know, we all talk about Michelle's, the ice cream parlor there that was the focal point of people coming in after concerts and plays and things. And they were a real mainstay in that downtown area. So the downtown at the time was a fun place. It just wasn't very well developed, obviously, but still was very friendly and a fun place to go at night.
That's right. That's right. So folks, if you got a little hungry there, we are going to take a quick break so you can go get your Frosty or ice cream over at Dairy Queen. Unfortunately, you can't go to Michelle's because they're gone. But stick around with us as we go into this next segment, because we are going to attack the rest of the 90s, the 2000s, and what's going on now and what we foresee down in the future. People ask all the time, when are we going to have a correction? What's the market doing? And we have to analyze the past. We have to look at the history of Colorado Springs, the history of the United States and the housing market and the economic impacts we've had in the past to foresee the future. So if you've had questions about this segment, feel free to call John on his cell phone number at 719-229-8037. And if he doesn't pick up, just keep ringing it for the next 3 days in a row and make sure you call nice and early, because we know when you get a little older, you like to sleep in, and these listeners are not going to let you have that, Pop.
Thanks a lot, Justin. I certainly appreciate that. No matter how old I get, I appreciate getting up early in the morning.
That's right. Early bird gets the worm. Stick with us.
There
this is go. Real Estate Realities, and we'll talk to you on the next segment.
I want to take me to Funky Town. Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Welcome to my house. Come on, take control now. We get even slow.
This segment is brought to you by House Check, servicing the Front Range of Colorado Springs for over 25 years with the most complete and personalized home inspection. Call them now for more information at 719-266-1645. Welcome back to the Real Estate Reality Show. Now, here's Justin Hermes.
Welcome to my house.
We're all here and you know that you want to stay.
All right, folks, welcome back. We are in our time machine here at the Caradio News radio station. It's quite the sight. We're dressed in our bell bottoms, and boy, we got our disco shoes on and everything. It's exciting, and we're talking the 90s now in the real estate market here in Colorado Springs. We were starting to see 5% appreciation year over year, and rates even got down to 6.5% in 1998. And this must have been an exciting decade, John. Can you explain to us how the business was in the 90s as things kept getting better and better for Colorado Springs?
Well, I think it was fun for all of us because buyers and sellers were able to actually sell and buy and move up, and there was new homes being built. So there was a lot of this activity that we hadn't seen prior to this time frame. So it was energizing. People were out there buying, and they were, you know, the new home market was going well. So everybody was feeling good about the economy and about where they were in the market. We were seeing some appreciation. That was exciting for people. They got their trust back in the real estate investment side of things. So it was a good time. And again, there was that a little bit of appreciation. So we as realtors could certainly talk about the value of home ownership at that time. And it certainly made some sense during those time frames.
That's great. And we did see going into the 2000s, that's when the World Arena came about, a great venue for entertainment and hockey, obviously. And from 1997 to 2006, we experienced an average of 7% appreciation in home sales. The population in Colorado Springs around this time was 382,000, and we were ranked the 49th largest city in the United States, which you could really see at that time things are starting to grow, and you're starting to see some trends of appreciation and people trickling in to Colorado Springs. What would you say, John? Were you seeing a lot of buyers more military, or did you see some other industries and motives of people moving here during that time?
Well, I think we experienced, obviously, a good growth time frame there. And yes, the military was always going to be present. We had a very solid base of the military. But we had other businesses moving into town. And, you know, we had the tech industry, which, of course, that was in the 80s. And then we had that little pop in that in the 2000s. We were drawing in other businesses, and we were starting to see more people want to come to Colorado Springs. And why not? It's a beautiful area. All you have to do is stand outside and look up towards Pikes Peak. And you think, wow, what a place to live. And obviously, Colorado Springs, as we all know now, has been a little jewel that has been found by many people, and this market has certainly taken off. And I know that's part of what you're going to tell them, Justin, but it was a good time and a great place to live.
That's great. So we're seeing 7% appreciation at this time, year over year. There's then the low lending requirements that came into play. A lot of adjustments. adjustables. Anybody could get a loan. If you had a heartbeat, you were getting a loan. And that's where we started to see some of these, you know, poor lending standards come into play that resulted in really the biggest real estate crash we've ever seen in the year 2008. And I will tell you, in the year 2009, the real estate market in Colorado Springs here was down 13%. So, John, walk us through that time period of when really the market came to a screaming halt and what that was like.
Never saw in my lifetime, I never saw the real estate depreciate the way it did. I mean, there were the larger homes. We were seeing 20, 30% depreciation in their values. It was a horrendous time. That was really probably the most scary time that we as realtors have seen. You just can't imagine that real estate will go down in value such as it did. And I always, through all my time in real estate, would always tell people, listen, real estate's one of the best investments you can have, be regardless of stock market, anything. Real estate is a good, solid investment. And sure enough, it blew up. And it did because of what you just said. The lenders became greedy. They started lending to anybody. They did adjustable rate mortgages. There was people that they would call non-documentation buyers. And they would be ones, they just ask, how much money do you make? I make $150,000. Okay, you're in. Never checked the documentation to prove that. It was one of those times when, like you said, if you had a heartbeat, and I think also the U.S. government, I remember the time frame and saying everybody should own a home. And I think that mentality obviously was creeping in. Everybody believed it. But we all know that not everybody is responsible enough to own a home.
I think that's a great point, because when you say everyone should own a home, the responsibility is taken away and the accountability that comes with owning a home. So you develop property management, which we still do now, and talk about how that helped serve your clients through this time period.
Well, we did it sort of by happenstance. We had a few clients. I owned a few properties, so we managed my own. And then we had some clients, military, that would say, hey, you know, I'm PCS and I can't sell my house. Actually, the value is less than what I owe on it. And so Steph and I, and determined that maybe we're the best ones to take care of our clients instead of referring them out to these other property management companies. So we started out 10, 12 properties, and it grew to the point where we were up around 100, and we really serviced our clients well. We kept them in the game. We got rent. We had their places rented so they could make their mortgage payments. It was a heck of a service that we provided. Sometimes it gave you a lot of headaches, but in the long run, it was a real benefit. And for us as agents, it was nice having that income coming in from the property management when the market got a little soft and we weren't selling as much as we were used to.
That is a huge point. And what I take away from that is you did it to serve the clients. And we'll talk about it a little bit right here at the end when we wrap up, because we only have a couple minutes left. But the property management isn't glamorous, right? People think real estate, I want to, you know, be selling the million-dollar homes. But how can you best serve your client? And during a downtime in the market, you have to be able to hold on to their asset, keep them above water, and keep revenue coming in for them so they can have that mortgage payment. And then we see the last 5 years, we have been up 38%. Rates are at 4.5%. And obviously, the low rates gave us a kickstart. And now, the clients that weathered the storm, they held on. Now they are reaping the benefits because they use the property management as a tool, and now they are making a great return on their profit.
That's exactly right, and that's what we had hoped for, and it came true. And fortunately for us, we had done such a great job that they came to us and said, we'd like you to sell our property for us. So we did end up getting a number of listings through that resource that we have of property management. But you got to do a good job. You got to stay on top of things. You got to keep on top of who you're moving in and moving out.
There's a lot that goes to it. So as we wrap up here, John, in our last minute, I do want to ask you what you foresee yourself in the market.
Well, I think it's going to be a healthy market. I think things will be good. I think if rates go up a little bit, that's okay. I think that when I was started out, 8% was a good rate. Market was good. I think that would be beneficial to us. So I do think we're going to see that happen here in the next couple of years, but I think it's going to be good and the Springs will do well.
That's the big thing to take away from today's show, folks. John, thanks for joining me. We appreciate it and look forward to hearing from you next month.
Right, Joe, Justin. It's a pleasure always, and great job with the show. A lot of good stuff coming out there.
But remember, folks, it doesn't matter if the market corrects in the next couple years. Okay, that's why it's important that we do property management and we can service you that way, because you build wealth with long-term holds in real estate. And that's why we believe in property management and being a full-service realtor. So call me today, Justin Hermes, 719-232-1063. Folks, you've been listening to Real Estate Realities with Justin Hermes. And remember, folks, houses are fleeting. Money is fleeting. The most important thing is your relationships with people and using the gifts God has given you. You've been listening to Real Estate Realities with Justin Hermes. Yeah.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
Hi, Justin Hermes here with Real Estate Realities. Make sure you join me this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and the replay at 1 p.m. where we talk about the cost of selling and buying real estate and why the discount broker may not be your best choice. You get what you pay for. Join me this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. where we bring on Unified Title and talk about the cost of selling and buying and making sure you choose a quality realtor. This is Justin Hermes with Real Estate Realities.